Hey, I'm Rob from Mousesports, and you're listening to TCR.
Okay, so let's start.
Hello. Hello, and welcome back to another edition of The Center Ring, aka TCR, aka your favorite esports podcast. Hello. This is episode 171, coming to you live, pre-recorded from an undisclosed location. The time, 8:28 p.m. The date, August 18th, 2019. It is a Sunday. We are doing this a day earlier than normal for reasons we'll get into in a little bit. But you know what? If you follow us on Twitch or any other streaming services we're on, first day on Mixer, by the way, what's up? You would have already known that because you're a true listener and you follow us. Not that if you don't, we don't love you any less, but we just love the other people more. It's kind of how it works. You can follow us, though, on Twitter, at The Center Ring. Be caught up to date with all the show news and what's happening. Join our Discord and all that fun stuff. Be a part of the conversation. But for today, it just might be, you guessed it, the best episode ever. It was a championship Sunday, boys. We had it. They come around every so often, and we had it. You had CWL. We're going to talk about that. That wrapped up. What a riveting finals. What a way to kick off, or I guess not kick off, but to end Call of Duty as we know it. We're going to talk a little bit CSGO Major Berlin. The new Challenger stage is starting up next weekend, so we want to talk about that a little bit and just some other fun things to get to. And of course, we're going to end the show with E-News, as always, our weekly segment about things we just didn't have time to get to and or didn't warrant a full conversation. But before we get into any of that, let's say hello. Hello, my name is Tim. I will be your captain for this journey into esports. And alongside me, as always, is my right-hand man, my first mate. Looking beautiful. Turned up the lights. Look at the smile on his face. It's Anuj.
What's up, dude? How you doing?
I'm doing good.
It was a good Sunday today.
To record on a Sunday.
You know what? Like, I know we said this is not the normal day, but it's like about to be the normal day here. This feels good. This feels a lot better.
It definitely does. So, reason is because obviously everyone knows we record on a Monday, and then normally new episodes are out Tuesday. Well, we're old. It's really what it gets down to it. And it just sucks working a full day Monday. Like, Mondays suck normally. But then you want to add on, like, it's the first work day of the week. And then you have to rush home afterwards to record the best esports podcast that anyone has ever heard of. It's a lot of work. It's a lot of pressure. So we're like, we're not doing anything Sundays now that I no longer work at the ticket. So let's just record on Sunday nights. And we'll play it by ear on what event's going on. So maybe sometimes we'll still have to record on a Monday. Or it might be late Sunday night rather than like 8:30 like we normally do. So that's going to be still debatable. But that's something then that, you know, that you can always follow us on Twitter to keep up with. But for now, Sundays is the norm. And then hopefully when we get to two episodes a week, which will be here shortly, we will have that on Wednesdays. So you'll have Sundays, Wednesdays, and everything in between. So we'll get you covered. And this way you can start your week off right. Start it with some good old esports. So that will be for you fresh on Mondays now. Other than that, that's about it. I think that's it for the show news as far as updating people on our lives. Was there anything else I was forgetting?
No. I mean, like I said, we got a lot to get into today, you know, starting with Call of Duty that really... That brought up the big guns today. I mean, today we had all the big teams that we wanted to see advance, you know, really push through, I guess outside of FaZe, but really had a strong Sunday today.
Yeah, so we can get into the nitty-gritty about the Call of Duty champs and everything here, but I will just say this, Anuj. We could have been there. And I know ahead of time we were like, you know what, let's not go, but watching it, I was really bummed out that we weren't there.
We ended up watching the whole damn event. So might as well have been there watching it, right?
Yeah, and it's just, it was very hype. And, you know, they did hit you kind of like the last, this might possibly be the last champs and everything. But I've learned that I'm at a weird crossroads in life when I had the choice of either going to Los Angeles, California to go watch Call of Duty Championship or stay home and get car seats properly installed into my cars for the baby. And I was like, I guess that's a good problem to have, like choosing either going to an esports event halfway across the country or getting ready for a baby. But I feel like I've turned that corner into adulthood. Don't know if I like it right now. I think if someone said I couldn't go to LA because I had to also take care of kid stuff, probably would have given this whole baby thing another thought over, quite honestly. But, you know,
did you get everything done at least?
What's that?
Did you get everything done at least?
Oh, man. The car seats are so safely installed. He's already ungrateful that I did it, you know. He's already ruining my life, in short, that now I couldn't go to LA to do it, but that's fine. That's fine.
Shep doesn't even know.
Shep doesn't even know the sacrifices. When he's like 18 and he's being a brat, I'm going to tell him, like, listen here, kid. I could have gone to Call of Duty Championships. And he would have been like, what the hell is that? I'll be like, you don't even know.
I would have felt worse if Optic had won.
Your kids and your franchise leagues. You don't even know what it was like before that.
Yeah, if Optic won this and we were not there, that would have felt 10 times worse in my mind. And I would have spent an extra $70 on their like throwback jersey. So I saved a little bit of money.
The championship whites that they released the first time ever.
Good.
First time
those
ever,
good,
Optic
man.
Was never had that. Yeah, you know, it was a... Like I said, it was an interesting event. We can kind of start with the bottom, if you would like.
Yeah.
With, ironically,
the disappointments.
You also, your prediction. Last week.
I don't know what to say about that, man.
Last week, we each gave our predictions to win. I, of course, said E United because host of an esports podcast over here. I know what I'm talking about. And you, also a host of an esports podcast, chose Gen G.
Like a Call of Duty expert, right? Is that what
we
used to say? That title is quickly vanishing. Yeah, dude, that was disappointing. For Gen G, first of all, they don't tell us how they're scrimming before the match, right? Like these guys are all scrimming one another. It turns out when the first round started, I think it was Maven or someone brought it up. He was like, yeah, I heard Gen G went like 3-25 in scrims leading up to the event. That would have been some good to know information, right? Like
I
that would have tilted my pick probably a little bit. They got smacked. I mean, they really got smacked, and it just, you look at the grouping that they were in no way would you be like, oh, well, man, they got paired up with some really tough teams. Like they, you know, were fortunate to, you know, in this case, they had Enigma 6 played well, advanced fairly far. But Team War and Fuego Gaming, I don't even...
Well,
tell
like,
me something about them.
Look, you can be eliminated, but also maybe go like win a game. They didn't win a game. They went 0-3.
Yeah. They were 2-9 in like their overall matches. I mean, they weren't even really close. Disappointing, obviously.
What a way to go out for a team that got second in the pro, I mean, they just, like a couple weeks ago, just got second in the entire pro league playoffs. They got second in Anaheim, third and fourth in the pro league overall. I mean, it's not like, you know, and they had some events here and there where they, you know, but always like top 10, right? Yeah. They weren't like completely always out of the discussion. So that was a huge disappointment. Another
I thought this one, was a chance for them to like make a turn. They went completely the other way.
Well,
we were
like
heading in two different directions.
thankfully for them, they don't even have to regroup for next year. Maybe they'll just all get bought out in separate contracts as we get more details for the franchise league, which we'll get into after we talk about the championships. But there have been more details about that that's kind of just recently broke before we started recording. Pretty interesting stuff there. Don't know if I'm a huge fan, but we'll talk about that here in a second. Other than that, you had... some other disappointing ones. Really, you can kind of skip all the way up. FaZe had an early exit. But again, this is one where you can't just look at the standings. Because FaZe had an early exit, but it was just the way the chips fell for them. So, like, they lost to Reciprocity 3-1 in winners round one. So that bumped them down to losers. Well, it just so happened to be that 100 Thieves also got sent down to losers round one, and it was FaZe versus 100 Thieves. Like, a match that could easily have been, like, the finals or at least semifinals, you are now getting in round one losers bracket.
Yeah, that was pretty shocking. I mean, for FaZe, losing to Reciprocity isn't a knock, really. Reciprocity's been good all season as well. A tough team. I think 100 Thieves losing to LG was more the shocker, but you still would have had a FaZe-LG matchup going into the losers bracket. So either way, that was a really, really tough spot for them to be in. You know, Zuma was playing lights out in the group stage, really couldn't pull it together here over the weekend, unfortunately. But yeah, running into 100 Thieves, it kind of gives you a pass. You got a back-to-back finals winner here, and unfortunately you're meeting him in the first round of the losers. And 100 Thieves had a really tough route to go through that losers bracket, and I know we'll get to them in a minute, but you look at the run that they kind of made leading up to at least making the finals, probably one of the best loser brackets runs, you know, we'll see.
I mean, they had to run the gauntlet, though, right? Like, to make it, you were in the grand finals after being losers bracket round one. I would love to see how many times that's happened before, if ever. I mean, I don't know off the top of my head. This is just saying out of nothing, but that it couldn't have happened. Yeah, it can't happen very often in any esport, for that matter.
Yeah.
So that, yeah, we'll get to 100 Thieves here in just a moment, though. You also had Envy kind of in that same realm where FaZe was out. It was 13th through 16th. You had Envy and Splice. Not much to say about there. Envy's been kind of shaky all Black Ops 4, really. They've never really had that to get their legs under them with that roster.
Made a couple of moves with Hook and some of these guys, and it just never panned out.
It just, like, never worked out, though.
Couldn't, like, find consistency all year.
So they're looking forward to move on. And boy, can we just skip to Championship Sunday?
Yeah.
I'd be lying to the listener if I said I cared about any other team between FaZe and fourth place.
Yeah, it was all about today.
I don't care. Because, you know, Championship Sunday, they do it right, first of all. It's just worrying about the top teams, right? It's quick. You were in and out. This thing was over by, I think, like 5 o'clock or something like that. Like, In esports term, to be over at 5 o'clock on a Sunday is pretty damn good. Like, I'll take that any day of the week.
We didn't get that reset, you know, so that really us out a little bit early there for sure.
Yeah, that probably shaved off a good hour or so onto the broadcast. You also know it's Championship Sunday in Call of Duty when every broadcaster is talking with a period after every word. They all do it.
They get hype, man.
I don't know why, though. Like, Maven, I love you. I respect you. That dude, though, I would love for him, if we ever get a chance to interview Maven, I want to get, like, a video of me grocery shopping and have him do a play-by-play of it, because he would make my grocery shopping the most hypest experience ever.
Yeah, like, for sure.
He's just always yelling, always pausing after every word, just so it can settle in and he can drive his point home.
The casting and the comms are very similar in Call of Duty. Like, every time they do the, like, hey, we're going to go to a live look-in at United's comms or Optics comms. Man, I mean, we've heard Counter-Strike comms at the highest level, and then you hear Call of Duty's comms at the highest level. Dude, these guys are a million miles an hour. Like,
you know, and it's funny because it's just the way those type of games work. Because I remember playing Call of Duty, or, like, even, because I never really played Call of Duty competitively, but, like, Halo, right? It's something about those map control type of games, like the constant respawning, I guess.
Yeah, quick rotations, the smaller map sizes, like the objective based games, you're going to have just people naturally all over the place, right? So it's just a constant call out. And Maven is reacting to every single call out, you know, which they should do. He's doing it the right way, doing what he needs to do. But they are just as hype as the players are during the match. And then, yeah, you know, on Championship Sunday, this was Optics tournament. I mean, you could feel the buzz in the stadium. I mean, just watching it here on Twitch, when those guys are on stage, it's a different atmosphere. I mean, even talking about the championship game, right? Comparing it to when Optic was playing 100 Thieves and United, it was.
I can't polar help opposite. To notice that once Optic lost and was out of the tournament, they happened to just never pan to the crowd after that. Like, yeah. It was like before they would kind of do like the whole panning of the stadium to show all the crowd. And then as soon as Optic was out, it was just like, nah, we're just going to focus on the players.
Because
if you've never been to a Call of Duty event, I'll give you a hint. When Optic is there, it's a rowdy, it's a fun event. The Optic fans are the worst and best in esports. But that being said, when Optic is out, so are they. Like, they're not there to watch Call of Duty. They're there to watch Optic play Call of Duty. And when Optic's done, they're done. And they're headed home. And that stadium is empty afterwards. So I have no doubt, even though this was the champs, I would love to see someone who was there. Because, like I said, the camera definitely stopped showing the crowd. And it definitely sounded like there were maybe 30 people there cheering on EU United after that.
Did you like the mosh pit idea? Like how they had it set up? They had the pit where people were just kind of standing and seated on the ground in the middle. So it was like an open area. Almost think of it like, you know, lawn seats at a concert, right?
Yeah.
And then behind that was the actual stadium seating. Thought that was kind of a neat approach, or at least a new approach. You don't see that. I mean, I can't recall an event where I have seen that. I thought it was pretty neat, though. It was cool to see.
Yeah, I mean, if done right, you know, like... If you told me to bring like a bean bag or something, or you know, it'd be kind of neat to do that.
Most of them were probably standing. I would assume most of the matches there, you're probably not seated too often. But
I'm gonna bring a bean bag. I'm gonna bring one of those. What are those giant bean bag? The love seats or whatever? The love sacks? I'm just gonna roll that in on a dolly and just be like,
the $1,000 bean bag.
I'm good.
Yeah, Optic, it was unfortunate. I mean, they played. They played well throughout the tournament, you know, beating E6. They beat Reciprocity 3-1. They made it to winner's semis against E-United, dropped down, or what was it? Yeah, E-United. Yeah, they lost 3-1 to E-United in the winner's finals to advance to the championship. And then had to face off against 100 Thieves. And 100 Thieves has had their number all year. I mean, 100 Thieves is, over the past 6 months, I'd be really curious to see how often Optic has beat them scrim or land events. The 100 Thieves just kind of had their number throughout the season. You saw it again in this event. You know, once you see them take Hardpoint, which for Optic has been their mainstay. They hadn't lost Hardpoint map one, I think, all tournament long until leading up to the 100 Thieves matchup. So to lose that first one and then go to Search and Destroy, where, I mean, we were watching that Search and Destroy match, really got one-sided quick. I think they were up 5-1, 5-2 pretty early. You saw Optic make a little bit of a run, you know, thanks to some heroics by Dashy and that 3v1 that kept them alive. But once 100 Thieves ended up closing out, the Search and Destroy went up 2-0. It was kind of game over at that point. You knew it was going to be tough for Optic to go on a three-game run there just to, you know, to stay alive. So...
Yeah, you know, we've seen this from Optic before. Like, they played poorly in Miami and everything there, but it just seems like they're not that roster to climb out of losers. You know, like, it just seems like lately, like, they go in pockets of, like, playing really well, and when they play well, it's dominating. But then as soon as it starts playing, being poor, right? Like, as soon as they start playing poorly, it's just like they can't stop the bleeding fast enough. And, you know, like you said, like to get 3-0 against 100 Thieves, I was expecting a little bit of a better. But even then, like, it's not just them, right? It's almost like the fans of Optic are the same way, because you even in our little group chat, like, messaged, like, dude, this stadium is done. Like, the fans are done. Like, they're out of it.
You saw it in the United matchup. So when they were playing in the winner's final, Optic took that first map on a hard point. Took the early lead, and EU, I think, had a comeback on map two for Search and Destroy.
Yeah, they did.
And steamrolled
a little bit of a
from there. Yeah, a little bit, right? Like, I mean, they ended up taking the Search and Destroy. And then from there, it was a really dominant performance by EU. It really wasn't close after that. So Optic was already headed in the wrong direction. I think had they lost that EU matchup a little bit more closely contested, they would have fared better against 100 Thieves. But to your point, once they got steamrolled against EU, that lack of momentum carried over into the 100 Thieves matchup, and there just wasn't much of a chance. And for EU side, you know, talk about playing with momentum, because we have talked about this team throughout the year and said pretty much the same thing about them, is, oh gosh, what change are they going to make, you know, to stay relevant? You know, who are they going to move that are constantly involved in rumors and drama? You know, their team is fairly vocal on social media, so you kind of hear a lot about the internal drama. But they managed to turn their season around with acquiring Simp, or being able to move him up. You know, this kid turns 18, graduates high school, goes to his first major event. They play second or third. It comes into his next tournament, which was Miami, gets the MVP, comes here to COD Champs on the biggest stage, and does it all over again. I mean, we get a repeat performance of this 5'3" legend that's out there. I mean,
and you wouldn't know any difference, because the guy has no expression on his still.
No.
Today, I was looking at him on the stage. I was like, come on, Simp. Give me something, buddy. Give me something. Just give me like a hoorah or something. Nothing.
It's like a shocked look more than anything.
He
seems incredibly humble, though. I mean, even when he was getting the MVP award today, spoiler alert. But even when he was getting the MVP award.
You think Clay should have gotten it just for sentimental value?
No, because Simp really is like the difference maker.
I know he was
the
difference maker, but just...
If the MVP is for sentimental purposes, yeah, you give it to
Clay. We all know it's for sentimental purposes. The MVP doesn't mean anything.
Oh,
it's
gosh.
To give it to the guy who's about to retire, or the veteran who's been here the forever.
Yeah.
That's all it's there for.
Simp is... I mean, but it shows how dominant Simp is in these games, right? Like, the guy was... He's able to carry with SMGs. He is an amazing sniper. You kind of put him in any position, and they just relied on him so heavily in these matchups, and including the twins. You know, the twins played so well today, which you look at them, I don't know how they're twins. Like, there's just no...
Are they twins? Or is that just what they call them?
No, I think they're brothers. I think they're actually brothers, aren't they?
But I know they're brothers, but are they twins? Because I'm with you, they don't look like it.
Yeah, this is the dilemma I was going through. No, I think they are. I mean, shoot, I'm going.
That's what they say.
Broadcast.
I mean,
like, if you're lying on the broadcast, this is your fault. We're not giving the false information. You're lying to us. So, yeah, I think they are twins. So, those guys played. You know, again, I can't pronounce his name. Articus? No.
Yeah.
Is Articus? Yeah, the dude's just a phenomenal player. He's so consistent for him. Pristini, I think, is a little bit more the volatile one of the two. Emotions run really high with him. And today
are you
saying
you mean Arcides?
Arcides, yeah.
Arcides?
Arcides. I'm butchering the name.
Look, after last night, I won't judge.
No, let's not talk about that right now. Okay?
We'll talk about it later. We're looking for, you know what, we'll talk about it now. We're looking for hotels for Overwatch League finals, which, by the way, we're booked. We are going to the Overwatch League finals. And like, a news is like, oh, check out this hotel here in Philly. It's El Gaunt. And I'm like, all right, I couldn't find this one. Where is this? And he's like, yeah, it's just El Gaunt. And I'm like, all right, how do you spell El Gaunt? And he's like, ELEGANT. I'm like,
bro,
you mean elegant?
It was 2:30 in the morning. We're booking some flights.
Thought it was like some fancy Spaniard hotel in Philly or something.
Look at this Spanish top hotel in Philly. Let's do it.
Like, ooh, El Gaunt. That sounds very, very nice. Very prestigious.
That was terrible. It was a terrible moment. Tim caught me pretty quick there.
It's bad.
Anyways, let's move on to the grand finals.
Hold on. Before we get to that, can I just call out Optic one more time here?
Please do. Give them the TCR curse some more. And the franchise today.
I'm ending it right now. I'm gonna put Optic out of their misery. First off, worst fans in esports.
Worst and best.
Worst fans in esports. For months, all I've been hearing on Twitter, hey man, this ain't Optic. This ain't Hex Optic. Hashtag Hicks Optic, right? That's all that is, right? The old guard, or what were those people changing? That's all. Hey, man, I'm not going to root for Optic anymore, you know, man. This ain't the green wall I knew, man. They went one stinking round against E United, and what do you see? Green wall, baby! Green wall! Hashtag green wall! Let's go, green wall! Everyone's freaking out. Oh, the stadium chanted, Optic! Optic! Everyone on Twitter, I go on Twitter, everyone's tweeting out, oh, I can't believe it, Optic is going to win this, they're coming back, baby, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, whoa, what happened to, this isn't Hex's Optic all of a sudden. Like, everyone will gladly jump back on that bandwagon when they're winning. I'm sorry, not winning, like, 1-1 round, sorry.
One round, they're in position. No, yeah, I mean, for Optic fans and for the players and people from the organization, past and present, this was big for them, right? You know, this was one of those moments where it feels like the end of an era. We'll find out what happens with the Optic franchise here soon. I mean, in the next few months, we'll know. But it does feel like the end. I think the players also felt that pressure. And I think the fans and, you know, people that were there at the event felt that pride, right? Like they were pumped for the event. It would have been pretty magical to have Optic in the finals of this event. Like, even watching,
I would have called out everyone. I would have gone on Twitter and personally responded to every single person that said anything about Optic, and I would have looked in their Twitter profile to find all the other tweets they just mentioned about bashing Optic, saying that they're not going to support them anymore. And then I would have taken a screen, and I would have done this on every single one of them. There's like probably a million. I would have sat here all day. I wouldn't have recorded today because I would have gone on Twitter and
you would have
called
been busy
out
all day.
Every single Optic fan that is all of a sudden hashtagging green wall after they just hashtag not my green wall.
Well, they gave him a good little run. I felt like we should have had some sort of production here where we could be playing like the Paul Wall, like, you know, Last Ride song at this moment, because it does feel like a little bit of a farewell that we're about to, you know, about to wrap up with the Optic franchise as a whole, now part of the Immortals franchise. So for them, finishing third, placed well, you know, it sucks. It's not first, so it doesn't matter.
I mean, who cares about third place? Like,
if Optic wasn't there, though, on Championship Sunday, it would have felt a lot different.
Would have felt
pretty
good.
To have Optic involved in Championship Sunday was pretty cool.
Were they involved?
They were there.
Did they play today?
They showed up, kind of. Wow. They were there.
Could have fooled me.
And with the finals, we had E United, 100 Thieves. Two teams throughout the season. E United has performed well throughout the season. They just couldn't find a way to win one up until Miami here recently. 100 Thieves, you know, back-to-back titles this year, something that does not happen often in Call of Duty. So we really had, I think, the two best teams throughout the season make it to the finals. And I don't think, you know, you could ask for much more. I think the only other final winners that weren't here, Optic Gaming, and don't remember who won one of the other ones. But yeah, I think we had the two big heavyweights here, and we really had a good show. I mean, for 100 Thieves to win this tournament at this point, they had to reset the bracket. So, you know, for those of you that are familiar or unfamiliar with this, 100 Thieves advanced through the loser's bracket. So in order to take the title, they had to beat E United twice in a best of five. And so, unfortunately, they didn't get a chance to take it to that second game. But they did give us a five-game series. And, dude, this was a meaty fight throughout. I mean, everybody played well. We had some close matches throughout. You know, again, Simp is the guy that really stands out for me throughout most of the event. But, yeah, I mean, what stood out for you most in the finals there?
The fact that E United like didn't crumble under pressure, right? There was even one time, and I believe it was in a Search and Destroy match, where Clayster accidentally jumped off the map, or fell off the map, we'll say. Yeah. And like, easily that could have shaken the team up, right? Like, I know me, if I'm in a grand final situation and a nuge falls off a map, I'm taking my PS4 and I'm throwing it across the stage. Like, instantly I'm unraveled. And the fact that, maybe it's just because Clayster always falls off a map, they're used to it at this point. But, yeah, you know, the fact that they held it together there were times where it was like 3v2s, 4v2s, and they were able to pull it through. I thought that was also surprising. But also on the opposite side of that, right, where 100 Thieves I mean, not only getting there was a surprise, but again, I just think for this org to, I don't know why I like making fun of Optic so much, and yet 100 Thieves is like a feel good story to me.
I mean, they feel so closely intertwined with one another, right?
That it's, I know. I'm not asking for logic for my logic, but
100 Thieves is like the new kid on the block,
right? 100 Thieves have never denied me an interview twice after saying they would do an interview, though.
Just give it time. There's plenty of time for them to do that.
The TCR curse, like, I swear, Optic, when they were playing EU, like, Scump looked over at Klaser, and Klaser just whispered to him, TCR. And he was like, oh, my God. He's right.
We're screwed.
We're done.
We're screwed.
We're done. He just said it. We're done. So I'm pretty sure I saw that. I'll have to go back and watch the VODs. But no, I thought it was great. I thought E-United played extremely well. I thought both teams were super aggressive. Like, super aggressive, which probably what made the final so quick to get through.
Yeah.
Because I did not feel like either team was sitting back. I will say, I am so ready to move on to the next Call of Duty and never see Tempest again for the rest of my life.
Dude, Tempest is so overpowered. The way Octane is able to use him at such a high level, like, I mean, it feels like it lasts. I don't know how long they last. I mean, a good 30 seconds at least.
It's been that way since day one.
No, and it has. Like, yeah.
The pros are good enough to really use and abuse him, right? Yeah. But it's just, I think it's ridiculous. I am so ready to not see Tempest.
No other character,
hero, whatever. I don't know what you call it in Call of Duty.
And no other class there or whatever is nearly as overpowered as Tempest. When you start looking at like Warhammer, right? Like that's not that big of, I mean, it's good, but you get a couple of kills out of it.
Right? You gotta be there.
It's really situational. Even Recon with the wall hacks, right? As good and as strong as that is, you still got to make the play to get multiple people, right? If multiple people are turning a corner, it doesn't help you. But with Tempest, it changed from one to the next, and people were able to abuse that to the max and playing the character the way it needs to be played. I thought Octane was fantastic throughout the tournament for 100 Thieves. He was just lights out with the ICR. Kenny stepped up. Played well in multiple roles for them. It was surprising to me that they played so well and yet United was able to pull through the way they did. Because I don't think outside of Simp, like one person really stood out to me, right? They were just all really good.
But it's not like outside of Simp, they all didn't play well. It was just outside of Simp, they all played equally as well.
Yeah, right? It was like they were all tied for two, right? There wasn't like a drop-off from like Simp, Klaester, and then the rest of the crew or something like that. Like they all just played really well. Quick rotates. It was funny because they put the comms on for E-United, and somebody commented on it, and I thought the same thing. They were just so calm, you know, in their comms, which is just really unique. I mean, they were making the calls that needed to be made and then organizing their movement based on that, but they were playing really well. It was good to see. It was a great way to finish off the season, and I agree with you. I am 100% ready now, like for the next Call of Duty. I'm kind of ready for the shift and the change we're going to see, not only from a gameplay side, but you know, the competitive side as well.
Right. And we could kind of move the discussion then to that. Of course, congratulations to EU. Congratulations to me for predicting EU to win it. I just like to remind our listeners that last week I did say EU would win. Congratulations to my best friend, Klaester.
Congratulations to our friends at Alt Gaming.
We'll
have some new merch to put out. That'll be pretty cool.
They already released that. So shout out to Alt. Go buy a shirt. Alt, if you're listening, hit us up. We still got to make those dad body shirts. I'll also help you design baby onesies now that I have a baby or will have a baby. I thought overall it was an excellent championship Sunday. Clay messaged me today. He was like, dude, I'm nervous, man. I don't know what to do. And I'm like, bro, you got this. You got this, Clay. Don't worry.
I saw him messaging you during the match.
Just think back about that one time we played Battalion together. Remember how you believed in me and I clutched a 3v1? I believe in you. And he said, I got
this.
Thanks,
but I'm gonna let Simp handle it.
I got this. So I was his Simp in Battalion. Don't let him tell you any different. But yeah, so just a little bit ago, some news broke for Call of Duty upcoming next year for the CWL. And of course, they're introducing franchising. Expected to have 8 teams to start, I believe, right?
Yeah, so they haven't given the final... That wasn't announced on here. So we've talked about that because we
heard that. Yeah, I know. And every time I read something, they're like 8 teams, 12 teams, 20 teams. It's like, okay, I'll just wait.
Well, so they hope to expand to 28 is what we know right now as far as... So this is...
That's a lot.
Yeah, well, in Call of Duty... notoriously has a lot of teams, so I'm glad it, I would rather it be high than low, right? We kind of discussed that last week also, is would it be the same if it was 8 teams versus the 32 we see in a tournament like this, right? Like that's very different. Now 28 won't be the starting number that's rumored to happen, but a lot of this stuff that we're going to tell you all now is coming from basically a sales deck that Activision Blizzard is presenting, or Activision's presenting or whatever, to their investors and kind of what they're hoping to see. But a lot of similarities, you know, just kind of reading through it, a lot of similarities to Overwatch League.
Yeah, you have here, according to the deck, I'm just reading straight from the Dexerto article.
Dexero.
According to the deck, teams that take part in the league will agree to have an appointed general manager, okay, as well as 7 to 10 players on the books. Now, that part there stood out to me because... I feel like you're going to have a pretty good amount of teams in the league to start to warrant having like 7 to 10 players, because for like half these guys are not going to be willing to ride the bench. Like you have that issue in Overwatch League, but there's no way that's going to happen in Call of Duty. And maybe it will help
way bigger in Call of Duty for that.
Well, I mean, look at like how often a roster shifts now, right? Like, maybe you can make the argument, well, they could just move them on the bench and bring them back. That's not going to happen. There's no way.
It depends. Do they let you change it out, like, game per game? Like, can you sub out, like, depending on, hey, this is our search and destroy team.
It's probably per map.
Yeah, so I guess if they did that, like, it could make a little bit more sense. But I agree. Not too many people are going to be willing to take a back seat at the same time. If there is a small number of teams, I'm glad that they would allow up to 10 on a team, just so you don't see a lot of people out of a job, right? Like you'll see these guys still being involved, still being able to practice. And when the league does expand, they're going to be more well prepared to hop onto another team and continue their career. So not a bad idea. It'll be interesting. It'll be very different than it is in Overwatch League. Like I think the personalities in Overwatch League are not that of a combative nature. Where in Call of Duty, man, shit talking is the name of the game with those guys, right? They'll say anything they want.
Oh my god, imagine how many times they've been asked to delete their VODs. Probably all the time. Probably all the time. Maybe I should be playing Call of Duty. The salary situation is going to be very similar to Overwatch League. $50,000 minimum. You can go higher, but depending on how high you go, you might have to pay a competitive tax, just so that way it can be even around the league. League is proposed to run from January to July. Okay. I like that time frame. That's a good long time frame. It's enough for you to pay attention to and get hyped. I like that.
That's good because it gives you a couple of months prior to the next game, right? You usually see a new COD in like September, you know, October time frame.
Yep.
So a couple months in between.
We'll see. And speaking of, they did say that they are still planning on doing yearly COD releases. Which I hate. I hate it. I think if you were going to do a franchise, I mean, I guess that's what people who like COD, right? They're just used to it. Like
that's what they get excited for.
Yeah. You know?
It's like the new IP every year. And sometimes it's good. Sometimes it's bad.
And they live with it though, right?
They do.
I guess that's the interesting thing about COD. Like let's use World War II, for example. Everyone hated that for the most part, right? I would say 90% of the community did not like World War II, and the pros even were vocal about it, but they still played. It still brought in the viewers. His people still got hyped for it, and then they moved on to the next one, right?
And it was still Call of Duty in its core, right?
Yeah.
This game will feel a lot different. This one's really going to be interesting because it does not feel like Call of Duty at its core.
Or at least it doesn't look like it.
At all, but at all, it doesn't look anything like a Call of Duty game. Just the way the gun mechanics are, the movement, map layout. So, yeah, it's going to be really interesting to see, you know, what the vocal part of the community says and what the pros think. But yeah, I think the yearly IP releases aren't the
my fear is maybe because this one is taking such a drastic step, right? What if they just love it? Like, what if the pros are like, this is it, right? Like, we finally have our Modern Warfare. We finally have our Black Ops 2 back, right? This is it. And then all of a sudden it switches. And then people are like, damn it. Like,
back to this again. Yeah. I think it'll be, in my mind, this is probably a little early to even say it because obviously we haven't touched the game, but I think it'll be the opposite. I think the population as a whole will like it. I think it'll be great also to view. I don't think the pros are going to like
it. You think the pros are going to hate it?
Yeah, I do think the pros are going to hate it. Yeah, because it's just so different. Yeah. So,
we'll see, though. But again, the bottom line there, though, is that they are keeping the yearly structure goes. So that's that, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
And essentially, we already mentioned that they're looking to expand to 28 teams in the end, which referencing to Overwatch League and how successful a project has been financially, which is quite interesting that this article states that. They're saying that Overwatch was originally projected to earn $25 million and ended up earning $82 million for season one. Now, of course, half of that comes from Twitch buying out the
broadcasting rights are huge, you know.
Right. Like, but that's just part like of it, right? I mean,
yeah, that is. That's
go
part
look
of
at
deal.
Football, right? Like half of football's profit.
Baseball
revenue.
Lives on broadcasting rights. Yeah, you know, baseball is the reason there's no salary caps in Major League Baseball is because teams generate oodles of money from 162 games.
Yeah. So I don't want like you can't take well you can't be like well half of that's for broadcasting. Well, yeah, it's. I mean, Fox pays like what $1 billion or something to get the Super Bowl now, or whoever does.
Now, they're
the Super
also
Bowl.
Saying
like,
season one is successful in terms of revenue generated. Now we don't know like on a per team basis how that's working out financially, right?
Yeah, league overall.
But
so I mean, obviously they're seeing some success there financially for Overwatch franchising. So obviously this is coming to Call of Duty now, and you know. I did. I hope everyone watching today kind of took it in, right? Because even sometimes the casters were like, this might be the last time we have this. You know, no one knows how they're going to do it. I was talking to Anuj the other day, and you know, I was telling you, like, wouldn't it be cool if they did this, but then, like, did the league, and they had a league championship and a league playoffs and everything, but then to end it, much like they do now, to do a world championship where they included quote unquote contender teams or teams not in the official league to come in and compete for like the World Cup almost.
Yeah.
That would be cool. That would still keep the grassroots. It would still have like these, like this, like a massive tournament involved.
Yeah. It's going to be interesting to see what the grassroots part,
32 teams here. So
COD end up doing. So, it's going to hurt in different areas, obviously. Like, I don't think it's going to be exactly the same. And even holding just a yearly tournament, that would be awesome. But they got to have stuff to do throughout the year. So it'll be interesting to see what this, like, does to just the COD kind of as we've known it.
Well, because, I mean, you got to think Overwatch was so different because everyone knew pretty much instantly when Overwatch started getting a competitive scene, it broke pretty early on. Like within that first year, rumors started coming out that they're going to do a league and it's going to be all Blizzard controlled and it's going to be franchising and it's going to be a locked in closed league. And that's going to be the dominant factor, right? They're not going to allow the grassroots tournaments to happen anymore.
You get in with your own risk.
Yeah. And so you never had that, like, you're destroying Overwatch, right? Like, you think about think of the history. There was, you know, Apex and stuff, but it was never really established. This is established. This is not the same as Overwatch League in the sense of being introduced
to
esports.
It's one of the most established esports. You know, longest tenured, longest running. You know, they've had the highest in terms of like just volume, in terms of viewership numbers as a whole. They rank in the top three or four probably all time of esports, just in terms of how long they've been around. So, I think it's an exciting change, and we'll continue to follow up on this story and We'll make sure to keep giving y'all news on the franchising league as we hear it, you know, because we know it's fascinating to a lot of people, and then we're just as excited. So
yeah, I think you're going to see it like kind of like Overwatch, where they're going to have stages, but then at the end of each stage will be your Anaheims, your Londons, your Miamis, your whatever, Dallas, right? Yeah. That's where you're going to have those tournaments, is at the end of each stage, which will still give you about 4 or 5, which is what it is now, you know?
It'll be the exact same setup. Change. It'll just be in, the, like you said, the mid-season play and quarterly.
Yep. And a closed league. That's it. So I really do hope teams get to keep somewhat of their branding. I know the rules out there where it's like you can't have, if it's being used elsewhere, you can't use it. But like LA Optic is certainly a possibility, considering Optic Gaming now is only in Call of Duty since that whole buyout and all that fun stuff. So cool, man. Well, like I said, I really enjoyed it. If this was the last ever for this type of Call of Duty format, I'm glad it was E-United taking it. I'm glad 100 Thieves came in second. Oh, Optic Gaming got in third. So I thought it was great. Good times were had by all, though. And I think looking even better in the future is the Counter-Strike Major, the Berlin Major coming up. Kind of snuck up on me. When you said, hey, man, you want to preview the new Challenger stage? I was like, yeah, I guess. It's probably like, 3 weeks away? And then I looked at a calendar and I was like, oh, man.
Starts this week.
That's this weekend. The Major starts this weekend, if you want to count it that way. So hopefully everyone has their sticker predictions in at Nuge. I know before the show you were doing that.
Yeah, getting my stickers ready. I wanted to have them locked in for the show. This is a professional show that we host.
Professional.
Here.
We don't go back on our word.
What I tell the viewers is what's going to be locked in for me. And before we even talk about the teams, let's just talk about the format real quick. This is very similar to the last Major. It is based on ELO points. So the first round matchups are out. There is an ELO rating assigned to each team, and they'll get shuffled as they go along and advance, you know, in this particular stage. And so, you're going to have also a similarity with the last Major, where the knockout or the advancement stage is a best out of three. So it's not all BO1s. You can't luck your way into the next round. You at least got to win one BO3 to get knocked out or advance to the next stage, and only Lord knows what that stage is called now. And so, yeah, I mean, just to kind of get right into it, I mean, the initial rankings came out, had Vitality ranked at the top. I think that's fair to say because they're ranked 2 in the world right now.
It's a pretty beefy Challenger stage. Like,
it is.
Pretty beefy. Like, you look at these teams and new Challengers and you're like, oh, damn. Like, maybe apart from like 3, all of them could make it.
I think there's 5 locks that we have in here. And I think there is then another 2 spots really up for grabs between almost everybody else, right? I don't think there's really one team that you can, maybe a team that you can 100% disregard, and we'll kind of go into that. But Vitality being the top ranked team, I think deserves that number one spot. I don't think there's a team better than them and CSGO right now outside of Liquid. I think you can even say that about Astralis. I think Vitality is that good. They've performed well on LAN. They have a really deep map pool, and they have one of the best players, if not the best player in the world. And that gives you a chance in every game you go into. Outside of Vertigo, their map pool is really deep. We just haven't seen them on Vertigo enough to know how good they actually are there.
Thankfully, no one's really, you know, that's the same with everyone.
They're very deep across their map pool. So it's going to be really hard. They could lose a best of one game. I could see them losing one. I think it'll be really hard to beat them in a best of 3. I feel the same way about NRG. I think NRG talent-wise is up there with Vitality across the board from 1 to 5. They have a lot of star power on that team. They also have veteran leadership now on that team. And they have a new shot caller that has more of a proven track record than Daps, right, with Stanislaw. So NRG for me and Vitality, I think, are kind of, for me right now, in their own grouping. I think both of those teams deserve the rating that they have in this particular system and deserve to be 1 and 2.
I would agree. I would throw, I think for me personally, I would throw Mouse in there as well. Just when, if you're wanting to look at like that veteran leadership with Kerrigan on their roster now, you have Rops, which kind of been quiet as of lately. That might just be a result from Mouse Sports just not being involved as much, it seems. But yeah. Rops, again, used to be kind of referred as like the young gun, right? He used to be Zywoo in the sense of this new young up-and-comer, you know, one of the best players in the world and everything. So I think Mouse could be up there as well as far as being an insta-lock. Now, it was kind of, it was, you know, they had to kind of go through the gauntlet to qualify for this too, which kind of threw people off as well. But
yeah, not, these are, you know, the teams that we're mentioning are not teams that you would expect to be in this particular stage, right? A lot of these teams you would think right. of as really teams that would be legends from the previous major. And, you know, Vitality wasn't performing well at all during that time, and they had no chance of being a legend back then. NRG's roster has changed quite a bit. And same thing with Mouse. You know, Mouse has, you know, Frozen, one of the youngest players in the league, an up-and-coming star. They need Woxic to be performing at a high level with the op, and if he's on, they will be very deadly. And then Mr. Consistent, Chris J, right? Like, I mean, the guy is able to play multiple roles for the team. He can take over mid-round calling if you need it. So I agree. They're a really deadly team. I just think they lack a little bit of like, hey, prove it. You know, like we just haven't seen a lot of them. So I wouldn't put them up there necessarily with Vitality and NRG, but they are right there. They're not too far off. Furia and North, I think, are both teams that scare me a little bit. I think both teams should advance. I have both of them to advance. And you know what? Let's throw G2 into this. We can kind of put all three of these teams together. G2, North, and Furia. All teams that have the talent to move on to the next round. All three teams have also shown inconsistency over the last 6 months, and you don't 100% know what you're getting with them. But I do think it's safe
to say. I don't feel comfortable about Furia. I think that they were a team that had like a 3 or 4 tournament stretch that went really well for them. They signed those fat contracts. I felt like maybe they were offered out of hype, right? Like maybe even the ownership got a little caught up in Reddit and said, oh man, these guys are the best now, and offered them a fat contract.
5 years.
I'd be nervous about Furia.
I think a little bit of the Aug nerf has hurt them because they were a fantastic team with the Aug. But they're a good team. They're just an aggressive team. So if they can kind of control that, you know, it's kind of the Brazilian aggression that we've talked about. They're not as tactical as we've seen a team like SKB or MIBR be at their high points. But they do have a very aggressive play style. People are kind of starting to catch on to it, and I think that has also hurt them more so than the Aug nerf has. But they should be good enough in this grouping, you know, to make it through. G2, again, you're going to rely heavily on Kenny S and Shox. At the same time, they've had good performances, you know, from, you know, who is it? I think it's Aminac has performed well for them. Lucky has been a little bit up and down, and Jax has done well. So let's go to the flip side. So I think we have kind of our core grouping here, right? So we have Vitality, NRG, G2, North, Furia, Mouse. These final two spots, for me, I took Crazy. I thought Crazy has been playing really good Counter-Strike, really consistent Counter-Strike.
Dare you say Crazy? Counter-Strike?
They've been playing some crazy CS. I mean, Otto, Hunter, these guys have been star players, not just star players on their team, but like very highly recognized now throughout the CS world as very consistent. So I think Crazy for me is actually a little bit of an easier pick than it would be for most. I didn't hesitate to put them in there as like kind of one of my locks, right?
Yeah.
The last slot I had a lot of trouble with.
I won't lie. I'm going to say Crazy's not going to qualify, not for skill or anything, but the fact that they still spell Crazy with a 4.
That bothers me too.
I think that's very early on esports, and they probably call themselves e-gamers. So for that, I feel like Crazy is out of the major.
Well, on their website, early. It says esports team and it's e-sports.
Ah, see?
No, I'm kidding.
With something capital S, like they probably spell it that way.
Look, they're getting a first round matchup against Greyhound for me. I think Greyhound doesn't have the ability to keep up with them. And I think once you get that first win under your belt, you see momentum carry over so much in Counter-Strike, and I think they'll be able to push through. For me, the last slot, I had some trouble with, because I had a couple of teams in mind. Forza is a CIS team. They have been amazing on online. They play very aggressive, but they've been dumpstering people, dude. They've been playing really, really well on online, just no LAN experience. And you talk about, you know, being on the big stage, it doesn't get much bigger than this. So for Forza, I made them my last pick in, but they were my most hesitant pick.
There's
for
always
sure.
one, though. There's always there one that there's, you are just at the end of the major when it gets to like the legend stage. You're like, who are these guys?
If they translate their game from online to LAN, they would qualify for sure, because they just made Avangard look pretty bad recently. They beat Hellraisers in a best of three recently. So I'm taking them as my seven team, not an incredibly confident pick, but if they show up on LAN like they do online, they have a really good chance. Avangar and Hellraisers are kind of in the same boat for me right now. Like, Avangar has the most experience of the group, so they should have a good chance at making it through. I just haven't seen like a good enough performance from them as of late. Hellraisers, on the flip side, haven't been performing well as of late, so that's the reason I didn't have them to advance. Complexity to me has a lack of leadership right now. They don't have a true IGL, although they have some very talented players on that team, you know, OBO being the youngest addition recently. The lack of having an in-game leader in these types of games, when so much is on the line and with such a spotlight on you, I don't see them advancing, and that hurts me to say. You know, being a local team, I would love for Complexity to make it through. I hope they do. Think it'll be very tough. Ty Lue, another team. A lot of people are going to pick Ty Lue to advance. You've seen Ty Lue at every major. You've seen Ty Lue in a couple of big tournaments, and the names are recognizable. They just don't play consistent CS. They win BO1s. They don't win best out of threes. And that's just kind of my story with them. Not enough there to tell me like, oh, that's an easy pick, right? So, but there are,
that's
like I said,
their issue every time though, right? Every big international tournament, to no fault of their own, it's like, dude, like, this is the only time we see ya, right? Like, yeah, you might see them in it. One other tournament in between, but there's just not enough of a sample size for, I think, for us to properly judge them, but for them to also judge the other teams.
Yeah. Who do you have as your 0-3? So, I mean, the way the pick'ems are done is they give you a 3-0. They give you 0-3, and then you pick the remaining teams. My 3-0 would, you know, I think maybe we, I don't know if we both agree, but I have Vitality as my 3-0 pick.
Yeah.
Who would you put down as your 3-0?
I'm going to say Dream Eaters, because they're Dream Eaters.
let's go back to the 0-3 then. Let's start off there, because that might be easier. Dream Eaters, I have as my 0-3.
Yeah.
I don't see much chance. I don't know enough about them.
No, so I don't either. This is purely the I've never heard of you pick.
Yeah. That's
my
they're ranked higher than I want to say Simon is, I don't know if that's how I pronounce it, but they are ranked higher than they are for what that's worth. But yeah, I'm putting Dream Eaters as my 0-3. You know, if you're going to use that for what it is, because of a lack of knowledge. So I feel safe, though. I do feel safe.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. So that all kicks off again. It starts Friday.
August 23rd.
No, the time, though. Germany is 17 hours ahead.
I don't know what time zone this is in. So
I don't know. Just turn on Twitch on Friday and just. When you see it turn on, then you'll know it's on. That's all I could tell you.
Turn on Twitch. If you got into the Juked beta, you can look at Juked. It's a new platform that also kind of shows you everything esports related. And so,
you know, before we get into e-news, I want to ask you then because I saw in Discord, someone in our Discord mentioned like, hey, the Juked beta started today. And I won't lie, I do see it on Twitter. I never signed up for the beta just because I don't. But you got in it. So what is it?
Yeah, so It's basically a one-stop shop platform for all thing esports live streaming, okay? So
Right.
not news, for
It's not
example, but
news, no
it's not news.
articles,
No, so for
just
example, on the
live.
front page, they have like five simultaneous streams going on with one main stream, and you can see all the action live that's happening throughout Twitch, Mixer, wherever else, you know, these are on. For example, right now it's showing Overwatch League and the Logitech G Challenge, but earlier today, as you can imagine, it was packed with a lot of Counter-Strike. There was
Oh my
Overwatch
God,
going
there's
on
so
then,
much.
Call of
There's
Duty.
LCS going on.
Yeah, it was
It was
really
a
nice. So it was like
busy week.
really well laid out in terms of you get to see all the streams and you can click on one or you can just turn the audio on for one and kind of watch it that way. On top of that, it's got a little top ticker with all the scores or upcoming games in
That's
your time
nice.
zone. So it
So
says
it's kind of like
HOTS
an
for this game.
esports filter for Twitch and everything, right?
Yeah. And then it
Sort of.
has VODs on there. It also has the esports calendar on there, now playing and upcoming. So,
So it sounds like it will make our lives easier.
yeah, this is not an ad, by the way. So I wish it was. So Juked, if you're listening and you have any interest, we would love to work with you guys. But this was it's a cool little site here. So the beta just launched for them. Something that I'll be using,
I hope it
for somebody
works
that has
just for the
to.
sake of, like I said, it will make my life easier. But there's also been, like, I feel like a handful of people who have tried to do something like this, and it just always never works out. Or like it starts this, like the score kind of started that way, where it's like they had scores on there and like relevant articles and stuff. And now I feel like all the score does is try to make controversial clickbaity videos and talk about esports for things that they don't really know anything about. Shout out the
Yeah, so
score.
this stays off of the news side. This is just for the viewing purposes, and like I said, you got VODs, you got a live menu here of what to watch, and so just easy on the eyes, a little bit of everything, and for a group like us that's covering all things esports, we'll see if my knowledge kind of expands in some of these other areas where I'm not necessarily watching the stream, and I can kind
But
of
it
watch the
helps, right?
mainstream with some side viewing. Yeah, so it's like having five TVs in front of you.
Excellent. Excellent. Let's get into some E news, shall we? E news
We
brought to you
shall.
by Anuja's mom.
For
But if
now.
you're interested in bidding her for E news, you can most certainly do so by emailing us tcr.esports@gmail.com, and we would love to talk to you about possible sponsorship for anything with the show. So you can do that. Find it on Twitter at the Center Ring. Lots of things to get to for CSGO. And we'll start with ColdZera, as this actually happened last week. We just forgot to mention it. You know what? One thing too, we also forgot to mention when we just did our little preview thing, NRG's rebrand.
Oh Lord. Not happy with it. I mean, I think it's like I look at Complexity's rebrand and then I looked at NRG's. Complexity's I thought was fantastic. I think the merch looked amazing. They launched with 30 items, let's say, in the merch shop.
Right.
The logo looked cool, you
See,
know?
I'm a little upset because, like, seeing NRG's little globe doesn't make any sense for NRG, but I'm like, dang, that would have looked good for TCR.
Yeah, that would have been a nice little
That
TCR
would have been a
logo.
good TCR branding.
They launched
Well,
with three like shirts or something in their
I just.
shop for the rebrand, and all three of them were like, I mean, we're probably not working with NRG anytime soon, so all three were fairly ugly. Did not like any of the three shirts that they
They didn't
launched,
have alt
color
design
schemes,
them.
and well, that they did not have for sure. Did not have alt design them. They should have. Shit, they should have consulted somebody. Looks like they had like social media guy was like, "Hey, I'll put them together for y'all."
I know how to design t-shirts. And
I
then you
can do
just
this.
Googled t-shirt design and went on one of those freebie websites. Now, I don't hate the logo. I didn't like the tagline of unapologetic. I thought that it was very teenage angst, like unapologetic. Like, okay, sure, man, whatever. I'll show you unapologetic. But I never thought there was anything wrong with their old one though. Like, Complexity looked out of date. Like their old stuff. Like,
Yeah.
you looked at Complexity and you're like, yeah, It just looks out of date. But, you know, we'll see. We'll see. It's not terrible, but it wasn't the greatest either. Also, though, last week, Cold Zero mentioned that multiple teams have approached him with offers to join after the major. Note here, that doesn't mean anything. I could go up to Cold and give him an offer. That doesn't mean anything. Considering it's not even up to him either.
Those teams were not talking about the buyout price. Yeah.
Exactly. They were like, talking about... There's two, like, and that's exactly right. So there's like two ways of a contract and how it works, and I don't think people understand that. Is first you have to pay the org to buy the contract, and then typically with that you also then have to sign the player as well. And so they're talking to him to say, hey, are we even close to being on the same page here to have you? And then they'll approach the team with a buyout, and then the team says this is the number, and then the other team is like
see you
okay
later.
Yeah, we'll see ya. Well, we got other people to call. So
yeah, so he went on this interview and really slammed a lot of people. You know, it was an odd interview to say the least. You know, he talked about Fallen and some of the issues that they've had, you know, how he's bothered by people complimenting on how much Fallen has helped him throughout his career. It just seems a little bit of a, you know, a jealous relationship there. Showtime, you know, he talked about Showtime and really just bashed him as a player, unfortunately. He called out Zeus and said Zeus was the worst player he's ever played against. He talked about the issues with FNX. That's probably the one area where he was actually accurate, you know, lacks motivation. He's a ticking time bomb. All those are things that we've talked about many times on the show. Disappointment with Astralis. You know, he really slammed Device. And when I say slammed Device, like, you know, he said, you know, he basically called out Device for crying. And he said he doesn't like Device's attitude. You know, that he didn't accept Device's apology when Astralis had ascended to the top and didn't hang out with MIBR, which sounds so childish. Sounds like a little boys club there.
Yeah,
you know?
For real.
And, you know, all these players came back and you know, he even said, you know, he wanted to leave the team earlier and Stewie is the one that convinced him to stay on the team. And a lot of these pros have really come back and chimed in on this.
Yeah. Maybe a little bit of a outside substance encouraged it, maybe. As I've learned before the show, that Cold is a regular user of steroids, which, you know,
like,
I guess no
illegal.
Shame if not illegal, but steroids are steroids, right? And they can definitely change your personality.
If you're having some mood swings, like, this is the sign of it right here. Because
this is it.
Cold has been one of the quietest guys in the scene in terms of publicly speaking out, right? So behind the scenes, maybe there is more stuff. But in terms of being public about his side of the story or whatever he wants to call this, it seemed really out of character. You wouldn't have got this.
We've had a few times where we tried to interview him. One, he just said, hey, not right now. And then the other one, the team just never showed up for their interview sessions. So it's not like he's like chomping at the bit to get outspoken, right?
Yeah.
He's just not that type of player. So it is odd to now come out and like I said, you know, and I even said this a couple episodes ago or a little bit ago, where I wonder if there was beef with Fallen, you know, like has Fallen's words meant less now than what they used to? And apparently for Cold, they definitely did.
Yeah.
So that it's kind of funny, yeah. Right? This whole time you never looked at Cold being the problem, and maybe for a long, because if he's talking about when Stewie convinced him, I mean, that was a while ago now.
Yeah, and Stewie even came out and said on stream, that's not even the whole story. What Cole said is stupid. And this is a quote. What Cole said is stupid as shit. I don't know why he's saying these things. He's just hurting himself. Device came out on Twitter and said, I remember no tears, but I remember not wanting to talk to you. Thanks for reminding me why. You know,
do you think it's just a mixture of emotions for him? Like, he's realizing, like, he's benched, right? He's riding the bench. And for a guy like Cole, that can't be sitting well with him. So do you think
he chose to do that?
Do you think it's just him lashing out?
I mean, had they been the ones to be like, we're going to bench you because of performance or whatever, team chemistry, right, whatever it may have been, yeah, I think that would be the case. But he pulled himself from the team, right? And then the team was like, well, we're just going to go ahead and bench you now so Zeus can get some playing time before the major, which makes 100% sense, right? So if he's salty over that, he doesn't understand what's happening here. Like, he's missing a big part of the equation. This sounds like a person that's just built up some frustration over time and is venting it all out now, right or wrong. I think most of this is not accurate. I think this is him just talking out of his butt here and just saying what first thing that kind of comes to his mind, right? I think some of it is accurate. I think some of it comes across as really childish and detrimental to his, you know, future within Counter-Strike. He's going to be on a team, but you're hurting your legacy within the game, you know, that he really helped build a big part of Global Offensive, right? Like, he was one of the first major superstars. And so, I don't know what the end game is.
There's a spray in the game dedicated for him.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's nuts. Nuts. Looking at the major, Moses and Anders will be doing casting. So originally, you know, they weren't a part of it. And then we posted on Twitter and our Instagram saying that they should. And now conveniently, they are. So I don't want... Look, I'm a humble guy. I don't want to take credit for putting them into the major, but I'm also not going to say it wasn't us.
100% it was us. That picture really did it. We put some time into that. So
I thought it was very convincing. Sadakist will be there, but he, Twist, will be on the desk and not as an analyst. So, of course, that would mean there are only two other options. He's either the desk or he's the host. So,
yeah,
he looks like he will be hosting. So he is not going to be with Henry G. Machine will be with Henry G.
I love that. Machine's amazing.
I think Machine is good at whatever he does, whether it be hosting, onstage hosting, or calling matches. I think he's great. Sadakist, I don't, you know, people are like, oh, are they fighting? Is Henry G and Sadakist fighting? I don't think so. I think just following Sadakist,
the scheduling has been hard for him.
Yeah. Following Sadakist on Twitter, I feel like his love is not with esports, but with like racing, right? And I feel like maybe he's just like, look, I can have my cake and eat it too. I could still work in esports and be at the major, but I don't have the time to prep for a full on casting, right? Like that takes a lot more work, I'd have to imagine. So maybe he's just saying, look, I'm tapping out. I will be a host. I'll still be a part of it. But you don't want me casting it because I'm not there. I'm not mentally with it right now. So that's my theory. I have no idea. Maybe he absolutely hates Henry G. That could also be it.
That's not it. They're a good duo, so.
Maybe they absolutely hate it. So maybe Henry G finally had enough of Sadakus forcing zingy one-liners into the casting.
Just like Ence has had enough of Alexi B, it sounds like.
Yeah,
sources come out that Ence will be replacing Alexi B with Sunny after the Berlin major. You know, it's been rumored that Alexi B is going to be the one moved if they were going to make a change. And then Sunny has been rumored to various places with 100 Thieves, FaZe, and also Ence. You know, all three have been tossed out there.
He's been kind of rumored
there.
To... Cloud,
I mean everybody and anyone. Sunny
is the bell of the ball when it comes to filling in a roster.
Look, if this happens, you know, it's sad in the sense of, you know, Ents had a really good run there. They struggled as of late. I wonder if this still happens if Ents performs really well at the major and how this all kind of plays out. But if this is a farewell tour, you kind of hope, you know, Alexi B gets an opportunity to jump on somewhere else. And Sunny, for him, he needs to be back in the game. Too talented of a player not to be on an active roster, and it's been long enough. So exciting to see him come back in any shape and form with any team.
A lot of teams kind of winding down in the Overwatch League as there's only like a week or two left for that. Actually, I think next week is the last week for the regular season. And our local team, the Dallas Fuel, little update on them. They officially were eliminated from playoff contention. And they lost today. I just looked it up. They lost 4-0, got swept by the Charge, making their losing streak 11 games in a row.
What were you saying was the last time they won?
June 9th in stage three against the Washington. That was their last win.
2-2-2 has not been kind to everyone.
No, it definitely has not. And
it's funny, I thought it would benefit them too.
Everyone did. Everyone did. You even, like, even the people on the desk. Now, keep in mind, the analysis at the Overwatch League are like the John Gruden, right? Where, like, they're always interviewing for a head coaching position, right? They're always interviewing for a spot on a team because no one in the Overwatch League will say a bad thing about any roster. 2-2-2 was going to change every roster. Every team was going to go, you know. Yeah, everyone, no one was going to lose another game if it was according to them. But, yeah, I mean, it's just, look at Washington, right? Washington's gone 6-1 for stage four. Dallas 0-5. They play one more next week. They've just, I mean, they're just bad. There's no doubt. I mean, there's no way around it. You're on an 11-game losing streak. You were in playoff contention. You were in stage two playoffs. Like, everyone was riding high on the team. I don't know if it was the coaching staff now is overthinking it, which it might be the case, right? Like, the issue with the Fuel was that they couldn't find what worked. So in doing so, they just constantly started churning and burning their roster, right? Like, pulling people off the bench, putting them back in, and just never letting people get used to each other. And so it's like, in an effort to try and find what fit, it just made everyone loose, and it just didn't work out. So yet again, the Dallas Fuel have to not make it to the playoffs. And now last season, they ended on a high, right? To where you were like, hey, at least we got something to look forward to next year. Yeah. This is like the exact opposite, where people are like, can we please have Goats back? Like, at least then we were winning a little bit. So stay hard to the Dallas Fuel, man. We'll see some of you guys in Philadelphia, I'm sure. In other news, one other thing here with Dota before we get to other news. The group stage started up. One thing that I just wanted to make a note here, Liquid currently 2-2-4. Losing 2-0 versus TNC. There was a game last night just shy of 70 minutes long.
It's a long game, man.
That is Dota. And to make it even more Dota, the next game, Liquid lost in like 30 minutes. Like, oh, Dota. Never change. Never change. In other news, Street Fighter player Guilty has been suspended until further notice. That means forever from Capcom Pro Tour following accusations of inappropriate behavior, according to a statement released by Capcom. Guilty even came out and said that she was part of the toxicity and she needs to step away from the scene for a little bit. Guilty, if you know, she was kind of heavily featured on the E-League Street Fighter series and everything there.
Do we know what she did?
From what I understand, she's pretty vocal regardless. Like, she's pretty aggressive with her opinions anyways. She's a transsexual, Anuj. And she has been outspoken about that, where like, well, if you don't want to sleep with me, then you must be gay. Even though, like, draw me the roadmap to how that works. But that's for a different podcast. So I think she's just been kind of she's just kind of an inappropriate person to begin with, right? So from what I understand, just touching, making people feel uncomfortable, which if she's saying stuff like that, I can only imagine what she says behind closed doors to people to make them feel uncomfortable. So
yeah.
But yeah, so Rest in peace, Guilty. You're done. Nintendo World Championship 2019 will work with... Oh, speaking of E-League, they will be working with E-League to air on CBS. That will start up pretty soon, August 25th. Yeah. You're going to have Splatoon 2, that is. Super Mario Maker 2 and Super Smash Bros. Ultimate will be featured there. It starts on the 25th, but then it's like once a week or something like that. Like, the schedule's kind of weird. It's not, you know, something like that. Kevin Garnett invests in startup esports company Triumph Esports. There's that. The Rocket League
Not much
Summit.
To add on that. It just kind of is what it is. Pretty cool.
Kevin Garnett's into esports. All right. Rocket League Summit ended up actually wrapping up just as we were recording. NRG defeated Frontline 4-3. Summit was also a very good one. Cloud9, man, they were the favorites. Dignitas knocked them out in losers round 2, 4-3. That was a good one. I felt like Cloud9 should have won it, and then they just didn't. So there's that.
Wake me up when Brigade is in the finals.
That's right. That's next year. Brigade will be into to next year's Rocket League Summit. So shout out to Brigade. If you're not, go ahead and follow Brigade GG on Twitter. They're good dudes, friend of the shows. Evo 19. Did you see this news? I tweeted it out.
Bro,
Evo 2019 attendees may have been exposed to the measles. Never in my life have I been happier to not get press passes. Like, I remember, so we applied for press passes to Evo because we were going to go, and then they came back saying, no, sorry. And we were kind of bummed out because we were like, you know, I mean, do they not know who we are, right? And then we come to find out, like, no one got press passes for Evo. Like, they just don't do press passes for people, it seems like. So that made us feel better. But now seeing that the people got measles at Evo makes me feel 100 times better. So
your wife would not have let you come back into the house.
No, that's something you don't want as you're about to have a newborn. I think measles is like measles and like STD is like number one and two of things you don't want when you're about to have a newborn. And thankfully, I don't have either. So check that off the list. And let that be a lesson. Let that be a lesson to anyone out there who thinks, maybe I don't want to give TCR a press pass. The TCR curse isn't just for Optic, all right? It's for you, too.
Measles is real, man. Final thing, this is not really too much e-news related, more personal for us here, but we won't get to see a lot of y'all until, obviously, next week, which is after WoW Classic goes live. Just a reminder to y'all, Tim and I will
be... When does that go live?
That goes live... next Monday. So give people a little bit of a heads up here if they want to join us, because you know they'll already have chosen their servers and stuff. We will be playing. We're on Feralina Alliance side. We're giving it a new twist here. We've always been Horde, so mixing it up and going Alliance.
Not me. This is truly WoW Classic.
I started off as Alliance and Classic also. So I did play Alliance throughout Classic and then went Horde for the last forever. So yeah, we're going to be playing. So if you want to join us, we have a group of 7-8 friends that are all going to be joining. Anyone is welcome to join, but should be a lot of fun. We're going to be streaming some of that content. I know we'll be doing some co-op or co-streams there, and yeah, it's not too far away. I know we're excited, and if you are too, feel free to join us.
Yep, we will be doing a bit of everything: PvP, PvE, whatever. I feel like WoW is going to be the perfect game for newborn player.
Yeah, because you can just like get in, accomplish,
grind
a
it
more.
Out. Yeah, yep. Like, you know, leave whenever I want, unless we're in like a raid or something. But yeah, the kid will wait for that, you know. So
they have to understand.
It'll be perfect. I it doesn't have to be loud either, right? Like, I'm not yelling. I can't do Overwatch with sleeping baby. I can do WoW with sleeping baby though. So it'll be great. Also, one other thing too, I forgot to bring up in e-news. We have a hot mom alert.
We do.
Can't let the listeners go without knowing this. Tens on Cloud9 CSGO team. His mom. I'm not like trying to be disrespectful, like, oh man, she's a hot mom, right? I'm saying like I would like to take her out for a dinner, respectfully, of course. Maybe get to know her. If things work out, call her back, right? Set up a second date. Tens, if he wants, I'm not going to force him to call me dad. If that's something that when he feels it's right, when he feels it's ready, he can call me dad. I'm okay with it if he's okay with it. And I think it'll be a beautiful family. That will do it for this episode of TCR, aka The Center Ring, aka your favorite esports podcast. I appreciate everyone for stopping by this stream. Awesome to have, man, 10,000, 70,000 people in chat today. It's pretty cool.
None of them.
It's just moving so fast.
Sorry, we didn't get back to you on Twitch chat there. We missed it.
But we will be back next Sunday, probably. We're going to try. Sunday's going to kind of be our normal thing, but we're going to try.
Yeah. I mean,
obviously, tournaments and everything finish up on Sunday, so sometimes it might just make sense to wait till Monday. And if that's the case, we'll let you know on Twitter, which you can follow, at The Center Ring. You can join our Discord from there. There will be a link. Be a part of the conversation. We got people in there all the time chatting it up, talking about Super Smash Brothers, Counter-Strike, whatever you're into. There are enough people in there to talk about with. Don't be shy. Say hi. I think that's really it. I got nothing else for you. So for Anuj, I'm Tim. We'll see you.